Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com. /Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com. /Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, anxiously awaited by many of our fandom.
Fandom.
Yes, we've got a extensive. This is
like kingdom.
this Q&A with Layla. You know, kudos to you because Q&A with Layla is really. I think we get a bit of a spike in our podcast listenership every week with our Q&A with Layla. It's just we interview fantastic guests, luminaries in the field of integrative medicine. And nutrition,
mm-hmm. and all great podcasts,
and they're great. But this one, because I think there's you never know what could come up, and it could be relevant to people's concerns and problems. Yeah. And it keeps on moving. It's eclectic. There's a lot of different information that we send out, so it's popular. So without further ado, by the way, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Our questions are uniformly great this week.
Yeah.
What do we have next?
We have an email from Mayer. He says, can you comment on this article that mummies didn't eat fast food, but their ancient arteries hid high cholesterol, which is interesting.
Okay. So, so now what's interesting about that, well, what this is about is they've done something amazing. They've taken mummies and they've done MRIs on mummies or CAT scans, I'm not sure which, but they take these mummies and they put them in this donut and they can actually determine the degree to which they had calcification in their coronary arteries. Now, we do this for living people.
Yeah.
And it's our way of determining if they're at risk for cardiovascular disease. And I was just on the phone with a guy who had seen in 2015 and he had minimal plaque then and he just wanted to make sure, since he has kind of high cholesterol and they keep urging him to take a statin, that he wasn't progressing towards cardiovascular disease. And I reassured him that there was a minimal progression and he's doing fine. I mean, he's 69 years old. The guy looks great. I mean, he could be like a underwear model. I mean, he is in terrific condition. So that's, we use this technique to determine if people are at risk or not. So lo and behold, what they discovered is that these mummies, who are usually pharaohs or noblemen or priests, they're of the sort of the affluent caste of, you know, Egyptian society, had coronary artery calcium. So what a lot of people in the cardiology community have seized upon is they've said, look, this is a disease that we've had since time immemorial. You know, we think it's a disease of modern time and modern days and excess, but no, people get cardiovascular disease. And it's now due to advances in modern medicine, we can put in stents and we can extend lifespan and we can put people on statins. And, you know, it's just natural. People get calcification.
That's not about the fast food era, which is...
Right.
You know.
But here's the but. Is these people were atypical because they were the affluent.
Right.
And they...
They were mummified.
Right. They were the rest of the people are dust now.
They were dust.
They couldn't afford to be mummified. It's like, how much does it cost to be mummified? Well, that'll be about, that'll be about $25,000. Yeah. Oh, so you just go into the ground, you know. So if you're a peasant, you know, eating like a very, you know, very meager diet and, you know, slaving away, building the pyramids. But the nobility Some of them were obese. Yeah. They ate pastry. They ate flour.
They had honey. They had honey.
Yeah. They had, you know, exquisite candies and things like that. So it now the term diabetes mellitus, okay, comes from mellitus is honey. And so the ancient Greeks and the ancient Egyptians recognized that it was a sugar disease. Why? Because one of the methodologies, I'm glad I wasn't a doctor then, is you tasted the urine.
So
you could say, send this for your analysis. Like, no, taste it, drink it. And it was like, oh, it's sweet. They had a lot of these people had diabetes. And so what this says is that affluence and change of diet from our Paleolithic hunter-gatherer diets, it was responsible for the onset of degenerative diseases like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Now, we don't, typically when we look at hunter-gatherers in this day and age, the very few that remain, they don't have a lot of coronary calcification. They have, you know, good cholesterols, good ratios. They die, but they die of, you know, infectious diseases. They die of, you know, the rigors of life in the wild, starvation, but they don't have a lot of cardiovascular disease. And in fact, if you look at statistics, in the 19th century, there wasn't that much cardiovascular disease as there is now. But even the 19th century, people had candy and they did have cake and they did have, you know, so we have to go back further, you know, further back to see, you know, prior to the introduction of industrialized food, you know, what the real pattern is. But these people are not typical of a pre-industrial society.
That's true. Because we're looking at the affluent only. So that's very, it's very, very interesting.
So, so for example, I mean, like, am I healthier than a pharaoh? I have a zero cardiocalcification
there you
score.
Go.
So, and I eat, you know, I eat, you know, meat and I occasionally have bacon, you know, hopefully uncured bacon, you know, unless I'm eating out. And, you know, some of that is due to, you know, healthy diet. Some of it's due to my genetic endowment. Some of it's due to exercise. And, of course, the, you know, myriad of supplements that I take. But
you're living in a way that you're not causing damage in your arteries, you know. Good blood sugar.
But I don't say, you know, I don't go home and say, slave, come over here and fan me. And, oh, I could you please kneel down? I'd like to use you as a footrest. You know, that would be like pharaonic lifestyle. You know, it's like, no, man, it's like.
Bring me my pastry.
It's like, you know, I'm going to go shopping and carry the groceries and stuff like that. It's like, no, it's active lifestyle.
So there you have it, Mayor. Myers is his name. All right.
So I think the implication of some of those news stories is like, if they'd only had statins then, you know, they could have saved those pharaohs. And the other thing is they also genetically pretty inferior stock. They married their sisters.
There
was like inbreeding.
So there was inbreeding that had to add to a lot of
disease risk factors. You know,
so I wonder if they adjusted for that. I doubt it, but in the science, I mean, but that's very interesting.
Yeah, they mostly didn't have very long lifespans.
Okay.
All right, so let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. Listen up, here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. So support them, shop on FullScript, and that'll guarantee continuity to this valuable free resource. What's our next question, Leila?
This is very interesting. We get this a lot, and especially in this age group, and I'm wondering what it is about this age group. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm a frequent listener to your show. I'm a 78-year-old female who is plagued by insomnia. Mm-hmm. I take 5 milligrams of melatonin at night, but I also have to take Unisom with it. I know it's not good to do this, but I have to get some sleep.
So Unisom is mostly an antihistamine.
Oh, like a Benadryl.
It's a sedating.
Pow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So the melatonin doesn't appear to be enough for Nora.
Right. Well, what happens as people age is their brain function declines.
I know that the sleep cycles change. We did extensive lectures on sleep and everything like that. They have less deep sleep, a little less REM sleep, all of that kind of thing. As we age, the 90-minute sleep cycle changes, and what portion is deeper sleep as opposed
right.
to REM sleep.
The character of sleep changes.
The character of sleep changes. Nora, the other thing is to investigate your sleep hygiene a little bit. Are you having a cup of coffee or tea after 2 p.m.?
Are you napping?
Are you napping? That's a big one.
Because, you know, I think a lot of older people, when they retire, you know, they're sitting and they're reading.
They could be watching TV at 4 in the afternoon.
They nod out.
They know, they've nodded
they
off.
It's so pleasant. It's so nice to take a little nap.
In the lazy and then, boy.
And then it just, you're not really, your sleep hunger, your avidity for sleep is decreased. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of when you were young, you know, you worked and you work and you took care of the kids. You were exhausted and you hit the pillow and you're like, you're out like a light because you were sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Now you have, you know, unlimited opportunities to sleep.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not structuring your sleep properly.
Right. This is actually a problem my mother was having. And I told her, I said, you can't be snoring on the sofa at 4 o'clock.
And then you complain you can't sleep.
Law and Order, reruns of Law and Order. And then you can't sleep. You complain that you're up, you know, from 2 a.m. until 5 a.m. And then you finally go back to sleep and you're not up until 10. You know, it's that kind of a thing.
Wait, this is the mother who is in her 80s and she just took a 4-day weekend to visit your sister.
She was already on European time.
In Switzerland.
That's right. She's
pretty, she's a trooper to get on a plane, like in a coach seat.
Yes, on a coach seat.
Oh my goodness.
That's what we did.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. So, Nora, a little sleep hygiene. You don't want a nap in the afternoon, not more than 20 to 30 minutes tops. Otherwise, you're interfering with your nighttime sleep cycle.
Right. But also, you know, there is there are sometimes correctable physiologic reasons for that. For example, we find some patients are hypothyroid, and thyroid actually helps with sleep. In men, where we can give testosterone, testosterone will deepen sleep often. In women, you know, at menopause, sometimes hormones can deepen sleep, and certainly progesterone has a sedating effect in perimenopausal women. 78, it's a little maybe too late to, you know, to address that. Our premier nutrient these days for sleep is CBD, hemp oil extracts, which are phenomenal.
CBD oil,
For sleep.
Nora, a few other things you could do. Give up any and all caffeine, especially after 2 p.m., some people say if they have it after breakfast, they're not going to sleep
screens,
well that night.
You know, avoid screens.
Avoid your screens. Don't have your phone or your tablet near you, especially in the bedroom on
the
bed table.
Or use the blue
table.
Blocker past, you know, 9 o'clock or something
that.
Like that.
Yeah, make sure there's not even moonlight streaming through your window. Get blackout curtains. Make sure your bedroom is cool enough. If it's too warm, we will wake up. Because we need a cooler temperature to keep our core temperature
low. We want to hibernate a little bit,
We want to hibernate, exactly. And the other thing is get into some kind of a sleep ritual. You know, start winding down at 9 p.m. and, take a bath or have a cup of sleepy time tea and start dimming the lights. When it starts to get dark outside, which is earlier and earlier now, is the time to start dimming the lights inside. So a little sleep hygiene is beneficial here. Get rid of that blue light. Stop looking at the tablets and phones unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah, my sleep is much improved now that baseball season is over because they have all those East Coast games.
Right.
And those games would go on to like midnight or 1 o'clock. You know, like,
oh,
come on.
Oh, my goodness. All right. The other thing is beware your dark chocolate. If you're having it after dinner, it is a caffeine source.
Yeah.
That might interfere with your sleep.
I'm guilty of that, but I still sleep through it.
Right. And Nora, another thing that robs your sleep is alcohol.
Oh,
even
absolutely.
Even if it's one glass of wine, some people just
big time.
Wake up at 2:30 in the morning, no good reason.
It knocks you out.
Yes.
But then you have a rebound.
You have a rebound. Yep. You get low blood sugar in the middle of the night. Yep. That's what's happening.
And I know this happens to me, you know, especially when I'm at a conference or something like that, you know, let's crack open some wine with drinking with buddies. Mm. And then, you know, I go back to my hotel room and it's like, I'm knocked out. I conk out right away. And then it's like, wake up at 2 a.m.
It's like, and just like that, it's like, whoop.
Yep.
Awake. What happened? I didn't have a bad dream. Yep. I didn't hear a noise.
Right. So I'm
up.
Yeah. I'm so, you know, these days not drinking.
Yeah. Feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good. The sleep is delicious.
Yeah.
Not having that even a daily glass of wine.
And especially when I travel because of the time difference and the, you know, the, you're right.
Yeah.
Because it's already, and it's exciting to travel. So it's, you know.
So Nora, think about what we said there to see if that doesn't help you, or try CBD oil.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the type I recommend is, for reference, is pluscbdoil.com. Mm-hmm. It's a very big, big company, CB Sciences. They're on I think they're traded on the stock exchange. It's a multi $100 million company that really does the research, quality control, and you get what you pay for. So I'm using the gold caps or the tincture.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
that's great.
The gold caps are 15 milligrams. Some people require more, but I use like 2 at bedtime.
Terrific, and that helps.
Yeah.
Great. We have an email from Freddie. Dear Dr. Hoffman, my wife is 59 years old, diabetic, kidney transplant, and was diagnosed with Bastrop disease, plus a sack of bursitis in the spine. What kind of nutrients should she be taking, and is there any exercise?
It's a real serious consult, but you know, it does.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, having diabetes and having a kidney transplant already predisposed to painful conditions, inflammatory conditions, and degenerative conditions. So there's a lot of circumstances that militate towards this. You know, Bastrop syndrome, which I've got to say, I've never heard of. You have any insights?
It's called kissing spine.
Okay,
syndrome.
So she basically lost the cushioning in her spine.
Yeah. It causes mechanical pressure that causes repetitive strains on the interspinous ligament.
Bone on bone in the spine.
Exactly. Causes degeneration and collapse. So, wow. That has to be painful. Whoa.
So, I mean, I would. I think some of the damage has been done, but you know, we'd have to be careful about administering stuff in a renal transplant patient, but we would probably work towards some sort of anti-inflammatory protocol.
And we
can certainly use omega-3s. That's safe.
Mm-hmm. I think Boswellian and curcumin
would
be safe.
Who knows what her vitamin D is, because vitamin D is really problematic in patients who've had renal failure. You know, diabetes, very pro-inflammatory. You know, obviously we want better blood sugar control. Mm-hmm. Tough one because
that
I think people,
one.
I think, believe like, yes, what is the protocol for Bastrop syndrome? Do we have one? Of course, we must have one. We have a protocol for everything, don't we?
We have a protocol for everything.
Well,
you know everything, Dr. Hoffman, so that's why people email you these questions. Oh, my gosh. That is a tough one, Freddie. So, yeah, that would
But, you know, require... we were delighted working with patients with renal failure. We have several.
Yes, we do.
And,
we have renal
failure. We have to be careful about certain nutrients because you can't just take things willy-nilly because...
That's true. Everything's different, and especially if they're on dialysis.
And they're also, this case, it's a renal transplant patient, but we have to be careful because there's sort of a delicate balance. We want it to not, you know, damage those kidneys and also not interfere with the medication, the immunosuppressive medication that's used to keep them.
We don't want to overstimulate the immune system that may work against that medication that's keeping the body from rejecting the new kidney.
There's anti-rejection medication being used there.
So we'd have to be careful of all of that. All right. Okay. We have
That's a delicate nutritional consult.
It is, yeah. Michael writes us. Michael says, "Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I would appreciate your comments about bile acid diarrhea. or bile acid malabsorption.
That's a nice acronym, yeah. BAD.
BAM, right?
But I looked it up. The acronym is bile acid malabsorption, or BAM.
Yeah.
And that's Emeril would like
that. Emeril.
BAM!
Yeah. But I'm sure he wouldn't want bile acid malabsorption.
No, because then he couldn't eat all that fatty food that he makes.
That's right. He says, God bless pork fat. That's right.
Yeah. Put in some more butter. BAM!
Yeah.
Butter. BAM!
Right. I would appreciate your comments about bile acid diarrhea. Many times, people diagnosed with IBSD, standing for diarrhea, or even IBD, really have bad bile acid diarrhea.
Right.
I read that it seems to be very much underdiagnosed.
Yeah. You know, part of the problem, I think, is when there's a drug, it tends to engender a diagnosis.
Yeah.
So there are what are called bile acid sequestrants, mm-hmm. like Questran.
Yes.
And then there are sometimes mm-hmm. These public interest campaigns, you know, awareness campaigns to promote the diagnosis of something which will engender a prescription for the medication in question.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if a little bit this, public mm-hmm. awareness campaign that this guy got wind of is not an effort to promote a medication which precisely addresses that.
Hmm. Now, Michael's asking, what are the root causes and are there any natural treatments since binder medications may have side effects?
Well, look, you got malabsorption, you've got problems with your gut,
yeah.
and you've got possibly, by the way, they said a third of IBS with diarrhea predominance
yes.
is due to BAM.
Due to BAM or BAD.
And what that suggests is that there's some form of malabsorption. There's something yeah. wrong with the intestinal lining. And we want to heal the intestinal lining. We don't want to just sequester the bile because it's right. not like the body's overproducing bile. You know, it's that the body can't reabsorb the bile.
It's not reabsorbing. So what is the problem
so
there?
So heal the mucosa. Mm-hmm. Use things like glutamine possibly, but mm-hmm. also diet change to heal the mucosa.
Yes. The other thing, in the meantime, to sequester that, maybe Sani 7, some clay.
Oh, okay. A more natural way.
A more natural way may be helpful
yes.
in that regard.
That's actually adipulgite, which is a type of adsorbent clay, which mm-hmm. can sometimes pull that out. It is wonderful for
pulling out toxins.
For diarrhea, yeah.
For, great for diarrhea. People with intractable diarrhea, which were...
Is that Sonny number seven?
I think it's Sonny number seven. S-O-N-N-E number
okay.
seven.
Because it's the confusion with the numbers is one is a fiber and the other one is the clay.
Ah.
So I'll look it up while you keep
okay.
talking.
Okay. I do believe it's Sonny number seven. So those who are diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, yeah, Michael makes a great point about a third of those cases are bile acid diarrhea or
bentonite clay powder.
Bentonite. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Clay powder. That could be helpful. Instead of using something like cholestyramine, if you're concerned.
Cholestyramine also interferes with nutrients. It interferes with nutrients.
Yeah, anything that's binding, anything like that, is going to take away some nutrients.
It takes away
too.
The fat solubles. It takes away, vitamin
right.
A, D, E, and the omega-3 fatty acids.
Exactly. So it might be best to get
which
that.
You may malabsorb anyway
right.
to begin with.
Right. I think ultimately, those who are not helped by a FODMAPs diet for any kind of irritable bowel, and we're not talking about SIBO, we're just talking about plain old IBS, especially IBSD diarrhea, might ultimately be the specific carbohydrate diet because it's also very good for intractable diarrhea and can help to heal along with things like glutamine and mm-hmm. so forth. To help to heal the intestinal mucosa.
Yeah, without mm-hmm. introducing that diagnosis of BAM or BAD,
yeah.
we've helped so many people with diarrhea predominant IBS
mm-hmm.
By healing the gut rather mm-hmm. than removing the supposed culprit, which is the bile.
Mm. Yeah. So that's something. It's very interesting.
I can count on one hand maybe the number of people that I have had to give Questran to.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember that many cases at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely less than four, I would think.
I don't usually go there.
Yeah. Michael, thank you for that very thoughtful question and information.
Guess what, Layla? We reached the end of our time limit.
Oh, my So we just sat down 20 minutes ago.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun. We hope that the time passed enjoyably for you, listeners.
Yes.
And we'll be back again next week with another edition of our weekly Q&A with Layla. Keep those questions coming to radioprogram@AOL.com. Some great questions this week. We really appreciate your interest. And, you know, we thrive on your conundrums.
Yes, yes. And thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading these podcasts.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.